President Trump has said he'll announce a new executive order this week on refugees and immigrants. That's to replace his travel ban that's been blocked by the courts. A lot of people are eager to see the details of the new order, especially refugees who've been waiting years to get word on their applications to come to the U.S. The World's Shireen Jafari met with one Syrian couple in Jordan.
Thayer Al-Tahli is a familiar face here. He's a television news anchor. He's also a Syrian living in exile. The 29-year-old supported the uprising against Bashar al-Assad. Thayer was an activist. He organized demonstrations and set up a student union at his university in Homs. That didn't please the Syrian regime.
I arrested about three times, one of them about 1 month and the other 4 days, and the last time it was 2 months.
Thayer considers himself lucky. He wasn't tortured or moved around from jail to jail. He thinks it's because he was a student and educated.
Were you scared?
No, I think no. I expected that I will arrest someday. When we went in demonstrations, we expected to shoot in our head, shoot in our neck.
But the last time he got out of jail, that was it for him. He had had enough. He fled Syria and came to Jordan. But even here, he doesn't feel safe. He receives death threats from the Syrian regime and also from ISIS. So it makes sense that Thayer wants to get as far away as possible from Syria. He and his wife applied to the UN Refugee Agency to be resettled in the U.S. That was 3 years ago. He's been interviewed over and over again. Some of the questions just baffle him.
They wanted to know what the names of my teachers when I was a child, when I was at the first class and second class. They wanted to know that. They wanted to know why I participate in the revolution. I told them that I was one of the repeals against the regime. So it's okay. I am activist man in Syria. And because of that, I want to go to America. I am not normal man.
By not normal, he means that he's in danger. But then there were more questions.
Did you hijack plane before in your life? I said yes. No, of course not. Of course I didn't do that. And they asked me, did you ever help someone to go to America? I told them that no. Of course I didn't know anyone and I didn't help anyone to go to America.
Because Thayer had applied to be resettled in the U.S., he could not seek asylum in a different country. He had to wait for a final decision before he could appeal to, say, Canadians or the Australians or any other country. He felt stuck.
I told the interviewer, please tell me no or yes.
Thayer says the whole process made him feel as if he's a criminal, not a refugee. Then, one day, finally, he got an answer, not the one he wanted. His file was going to be placed on hold.
3 years and you are America. 3 years and you want more information?
It's important to remember here, this happened before Donald Trump took office, before the temporary ban on Syrian refugees. There is room for everyone on earth, reads a sign in the lobby of the UN Refugee Agency office in Amman. The building used to be an old school. Today is the place where the world's biggest refugee crisis is being handled. Maryam Bala is one of the people in charge of the resettlement program.
Jordan became the largest resettlement operation specifically for Syrian refugees in the world in 2016. We didn't know it would take on such a big number, so it really grew in an unexpected manner.
Bala says every host country has its own vetting and screening process. But in general, they give priority to the most vulnerable cases. That means refugees with major health problems or the ones who have witnessed trauma, for example. How does the U.S. compare to other countries? I asked Bala.
We know that they have a vetting process, and we know that it's one of the most scrutinized processes of any person entering the U.S. It involves a number of federal agencies that are being solicited and that are involved in this process.
As difficult and lengthy as all this is today, Bala says it used to be much worse.
When I was doing resettlement in the 90s, because that's when it started with the Somalis, Refugees didn't have mobile phones. We didn't have mobile phones. We were hardly working with computers. We were still working with typewriters. Refugees came to us physically when they had questions. They were writing letters. We were writing letters back to them. Now we have email, we have Facebook, we have social media, we have mobile phones. People are connected. This is a very, very, very big difference.
Bana's organization is keeping a close eye on President Trump's temporary ban on Syrian refugees. She says the families who were scheduled to fly to the U.S. have been able to do so, but the cases that were mid-process remain on hold. Tahir Al-Tahli says he's had enough. His wife is 7 months pregnant. The couple say they just want to move on.
I give up to go to America. The next step I will do, that I will close my file.
Closing his application will allow Thayer to apply to other countries. France, Canada, and Australia are on his list.
I will go to any country except America. I will not go to America.
3 years of answering questions and sitting in interviews, and now he'll have to start all over again. For The World, Shirin Jafari, Amman, Jordan.